as the alarm kicks in for another day.
From the moment your feet hit the floor,
we've got all you need to know before heading out the front door.
Live from just around the corner,
to make the feel-good last,
this is Michael for breakfast.
Hey, it's Michael, and welcome to the perfect place to catch up if you missed anything from the show or you just want a little bit extra. On the way, we'll be catching up with our good mate Cliff Ray from The Drive Home, as there are many things in the world that make him mad, and maybe they make you mad as well, so it's the perfect place to stop by in the Cliff Notes. We'll also be catching up with our good friend Leah, as she's broken down some amazing data involving Australia Post. We have a chat with Chris Regan, who is the captain of the Dunsborough cricket team. They got the job done in the grand final on the weekend in the BMRCA. First up, the big talking point in the southwest is still offshore energy in the wind farm. We'll be chatting with the CEO of OceanX, Andy Evans, who has also been working on a film called Planet Wind. He's an expert in the field. He's investigated wind around the world. And so we put a few questions forward to him as to what could this mean if it goes ahead in our region. Here he is now. G'day, Andy.
G'day, Michael. How are you?
Doing very well. This offshore wind is, you know, it's a very exciting sort of technology of the future as a renewable energy, but it's brought a lot of concern here in the southwest, and we've been having some forums, and there's large parts of the community that are not happy about this. But you've been going around and, I guess, investigating across the world what offshore wind looks like.
Yeah, that's correct. Look, we first started the first Australian project 12 years ago with the Star of the South in Victoria, and I think part of the journey has led me to understand how it's got up around the world. So I've spent most of last year making a documentary called Planet Wind, which really investigates, I suppose, the planetary force that is wind and how projects like offshore wind have got up around the world. And there are about 15 nations that have been progressing it for about 20 years now. So I think it's something that Australia is ripe for, but obviously we're going to go through a long process to get everyone comfortable with it.
And I think the comfortable thing is where people, it sits uncomfortably with them, because I feel like the prevailing thought is around the fact that it doesn't feel very good to want to, you know, help the planet with a renewable if it's going into a vulnerable habitat, perhaps. Through your research and through Planet Wind, have you found that when an offshore wind farm gets established, do you think it disrupts the natural habitat of the ocean?
Well, I think the key thing for people to understand is before you even get to putting something out in the ocean, you've generally got a minimum 7-year period of going through feasibility. Now, Australia is the most overregulated country in the world. So we've got, to get an offshore wind farm, you've got to go through 3 levels of legislation. And I'm talking from an environmental perspective. So you can't just go out and put turbines in the water where they are going to have a major disruption. And I think some of the confusion at the moment, particularly in the southwest, is that there is a large zone that has been put out there for discussion, but turbines aren't going to be filling all of that zone. It's going to be a very small part of that zone if indeed we are lucky to get through environmental approvals. So I think that's been some of the, I won't say misinformation, but confusion that's come out. And it sits on both sides, people promoting offshore wind and those that concerned about it. We're about to go through a 7-year process of feasibility licenses to really weed out those issues and minimise impacts, because projects simply will not get approved if they have large impacts.
And so have we seen, I know that the Recreational Fishers and Recfish West, that there's a use impact as well. Will we be banned from entering areas where there are wind farms for fishing, for example?
No, there will only be exclusion zone strength construction. That's for safety purposes. But all the anecdotal evidence around the world suggests that by putting turbines out there, you create a huge artificial reefs which only attract fishing. A fish and make it, a much more vibrant zone for fishing. So we're going further out in the west. I think the government have done a good job. They've learned from the east. There's a minimum 20 kilometre from the coastline to look at minimising visual issues and looking at some of the current habitat. But all the anecdotal evidence suggests globally that it's only going to improve aquaculture, and particularly fishing.
If you have one thing that you want people to sort of take away after watching Planet Wind, what do you think is the message of your documentary?
Understand that these projects get up for very different reasons to what people think. It's not bleeding hearts trying to save the planet. It's not just about lowering the cost of electricity. Generally, it's about revitalising regions that are looking for new opportunities, looking for abilities for families to stay together and work in great jobs for decades. That's the real story, and that's why I made the film, so that people see through this information about where the turbines are going to stop waves for surfing. It's not going to block out the sun. It's not going to kill everything out there. It gets up for very different reasons. They're very human-based, jobs, investment, and opportunities. So that's what I'm hoping to get out in the film. And like a lot of things in Australia, everything's been done around the world previously. We actually need to stop and look at how other countries have done things and the benefits they get, not just the risks.
If we want to view Planet Wind, how do we go about doing that?
Well, I'm hoping to get it out very soon on public release. That's the best way of getting it out into the world. So we've got a few limited screenings, and then we've got to go through a process of hopefully getting it out, whether it's on Netflix or stream. But I'd really like, obviously, to have it shown throughout the southwest, particularly in Bunbury, right in the sort of epicenter of where a lot of activity is proposed. So that's more from mid this year.
Andy Evans, CEO of OceanX Energy and director of Planet Wind, thanks so much for jumping on. It's been great having a chat and getting some insight into what is a pretty big topic. There's often a lot to wade through. So we appreciate you sort of breaking down your knowledge.
Thanks, Michael.
Now, Michael, I wanted to talk to you about something very interesting that popped up in our little inboxes yesterday. The good old people at Australia Post.
Oh, no. What's happened now?
Well, nothing actually terribly, but for the posties, the beloved posties.
The posties, we love them.
Yes.
Australia Post, where's my package? It's still missing.
Yeah,
but the posties, we really do love them because they're so trustworthy. They're often very friendly.
Yeah, I know my postie's name. Hello. I won't give an actual shout out because that could be disclosing information. But some interesting things that they're actually dodging more than 200 hazards a day.
What?
Yeah. They're in harm's way so much, apparently, that they could almost be injured 200 times a day.
Like on the front line.
Yeah. And I think that this might be time that we get some higher-ups involved.
We need, maybe a special posties unit.
I think you're on it. It's time for the special postie unit called Spew.
Law and Order SBU.
Yeah. Let me get into character for you, Michael. Sergeant Tyndale here. Sergeant Ross, hello.
G'day, Sergeant Tyndale.
I've got some hard-hitting facts for you about the injuries to our posties. Can I tell you that there are top 5 logged hazards encountered by posties across the country in the last 12 months? Would you like to know what they are?
Oh, give it to me straight, Chief.
I will, because we've got to watch out for these and keep our posties safe. The number one hazard is unrestrained or aggressive dogs.
Oh, absolute dogs. Look up your dogs, please. Yeah. That's a hazard for everyone, isn't it?
Number 2, Detective. You now, so I gave you a promotion. Detective Ross.
I called you Chief.
Low-hanging branches, obstructive trees, and shrubbery.
I'm sorry. Low-hanging branches could be a problem if you're a motorbike.
Correct.
Shrubbery. Why is that a hazard? What's next?
Next on the list. Surface conditions such as cracked footpaths or uneven surfaces. It's like the age-old adage goes, step on a crack and you'll break your back.
Step on a crack, break your posties back.
Don't do that. That's dangerous.
People do have unsealed drives, and I imagine that could be a bit of a problem if they've got potholes and things like that. Yeah.
The next one, Sergeant Ross, is letterbox conditions, including sharp, jagged or rusted edges, which is really dangerous.
Why isn't that higher on the list as well, though? But that being said, how many posties stick their head into the letterbox?
This is no laughing matter, Sergeant Ross. This is a serious thing because there has been 20,000 incidents in New South Wales of posties being harmed. And in Western Australia, over 10,000.
Sorry. I'm laughing at the voice here. 10,000 incidences out there every day. The men and women in the hi-vis in red.
They've logged hazards.
Such as? they've logged
10,000 hazards. No, it's very... Oh, and I didn't tell you the fifth one, Sergeant. Blind driveways.
Yes.
And obstructive cars.
Sergeant, I feel like some of this list is out of order a little bit. I'd be very worried about a blind driveway and hidden cars.
This is why we've got to be astute, Sergeant Ross.
So, if you have anything to report to the Special Postie Unit, get in touch.
If you see something, say something.
The BMRCA, that's the Busselton and Margaret River Cricket Association, grand final was held. Margaret River Hawks taking on Dunsborough Cricket Club, and Dunsey got the job done with Margaret River unable to chase down that 151, only putting up 103, bowled out in 37 overs. Well done to the Dunsborough Cricket Club on a huge season, a fantastic win. And joining us online now is their captain, Chris Regan. Chris, give us a rundown of the match.
So the rundown was we won the toss, we elected to bat, and we were in trouble, I think, at 4 for 20-odd. Not too much on the board. We sort of put all our eggs in one basket with our top four. We wanted them to be at the top of the order. Phil Watts came in and rescued the innings. So Phil Watts, the vice-captain, bats at four. He ended up with 94 not out.
Dubbed the Iceman.
He is the Iceman. Cometh the hour, cometh Phil Watts. He's unbelievable. He was dropped a couple of times by Bubbles, their captain, who keeps Jack Green. But it was also dropped in the deep once, but he made them pay. Phil, he was batting with Cam Sharp, who put on 30. I said, I think they put on 100 together and got us a total of 152 to defend. And then the Iceman had a day out in the field as well. He took four catches. At Gully, which we've got their dangerous player Garcia at the top of the order for a duck. He opens the batting. He got 84 against us in the semi-final. So Phil took a great catch at Gully to remove him. And he also caught Jack Green, caught Bubbles at Gully as well. So he had a day out, and his brother took 3 for 11, Seb. So the Watts boys did the damage.
That's where it was won and lost, with just a couple of brothers doing
just a couple of brothers, yeah. Fantastic, though. Great result, and yeah, the Watts boys had a day out.
Yeah, congratulations to you and the boys at Dunsborough. How'd you see the year overall? A good year, a good turnout for numbers and talent through Dunsborough?
Absolutely. We picked up a couple of players. Young Harry Safestyle Sutherland, he turned up from the Wheat Belt, 21 years old, opening bowler, led the whole association and and represented Busselton Margaret River Cricket Association. As the opening bowler, leading wicket taker, and Kane Reynolds from Dunt, South Australia, he came over, and he was fantastic as well. So he's been really good for us. Just two ripping young kids who've come and joined the fold. And then there's of course 8 or 9 homegrown talent, young kids who I've coached through the years. We don't have an overseas professional; every other club does in the league. So to do that with all the young blokes who've played under-16s, under-14s cricket at DCC was pretty special. Now, boys ranging from 16 years old to, I think, 24.
It's absolutely fantastic to get that through the ranks and keep bringing up that next generation. Is the celebrations continuing into the week, or do we keep it to Sunday?
No, we kept it till Saturday night.
Okay, Saturday night.
So strictly Saturday night, Sunday, early morning. Some of them are too young and can't handle it.
Chris, congratulations on the awesome win, mate. What do you guys get up to during the winter months? Are you footy? Are you indoor cricket? What's the go?
There's plenty of footy. A few of the boys play. But yeah, generally down here, it's a quiet time, and it's plenty of fishing, yes. Plenty of footy, plenty of red wine. About all that sort of stuff.
Well, enjoy, and we can't wait for a huge 24-25 summer.
Norcombe Way. Absolutely. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, indeed. It's Cliff Notes again, something new on Triple M, and this has got a little bit to do with the fact that I've seen more summers than anyone else in the building, and they do accuse me from time to time of, sort of going off. And Michael from Triple M has come in.
Thank you.
Mild applause. I don't know if you're going to be any good yet or not, but there you are. There's a bit to
start
with.
Well, I just love your reactions. I love your takes on the world around us. And I said, Cliff, we need to do this on air. This is too good to keep in just the office.
Because they sort of go, oh, he's off again. It's another pronouncement. Where is this one going to take us? I want to talk to you about driving.
Okay. Yes.
Couple of things. First thing, how on earth can it be that there are so many cars in the southwest that get here without blinkers?
They're just not there. They just mustn't be installed.
None. These cars do not have indicators.
No.
Because I can't see any other reason why people sort of go, I'm just going to turn around that corner and I'm behind them. I go, no, don't worry, mate. I'll guess where you're going. That's all right.
Oh, how about a roundabout?
No, don't even talk.
It's like roulette. Now, look, maybe there's a chance it's not their car. And
So they've stolen the car. They don't want to draw attention to themselves by using the blinker.
No, but have you ever jumped in, like, standard cars in Australia? Where's your indicator? It's on the right-hand side.
Yes.
Because it's a good spot to use as you're turning left and right.
Mm.
Jump in a European car,
it's
on the left-hand side.
Mm.
So then I've had this where I've gone to indicate, to merge in front of someone, turned on the windscreen wipers.
Slight problem.
And then nearly ended up on theirs.
But really, I'm not going off unneedlessly. Are you going to tell me that you've never seen anybody driving in the Southwest who doesn't bother to use their blinker?
It's not good. It's, I don't know how we get around, really. Just faith.
Try not to bump into things. And you know the other thing too, and this happened the other day when I was going out of the car park here. I stopped before I turned right to go onto the exit out of the car park. And this lady came in. I had stopped and she just came in. Was there a wave? Was there an acknowledgement or anything? Nothing. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, I bothered.
Yeah, if you don't give me a thank you wave for letting you in front, I'm taking the front back.
What about this one? You're on the steering wheel, 10 and 2,
yeah,
and you just do the little finger. That's it.
Do you, because you love to go out camping.
Yes,
and I feel like it is like if you're on a road trip.
Mm.
If I'm just driving around for work or whatever, I'm not doing the wave. That means
people will think you're strange, or it's a sign. I don't have any blinkers. Watch out.
Mm. Maybe that's what they're telling you. Little right finger goes up. They're turning left.
I don't know. And we're coming up to a very busy time of the year. There's going to be so many people driving. And, you know all the city people are going to be coming down, don't you? You know, they're going to be visiting our town. They've got
maybe
no idea.
Maybe they don't know. It maybe everyone in the Southwest does know the blinkers, and it's the bloody big smoke. Typical.
That's all I can say.
Well, stay safe on the roads.
Mm.
And that's the Cliff Notes. Thanks for stopping by for a little bite of brekkie. You can catch my full shows from 6 a.m. weekdays. And don't forget to follow us across all the socials. And you can even join the Everything Southwest group on Facebook, as that's a great way for you to get in touch. So I'll catch you through the week. We'll be back here for another bite of brekkie.